Grace and peace I bring to you from God, our heavenly Creator, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Be not afraid. How many times do we get to hear that phrase and repeat it through Jesus' invitation to hear what we might do with all of His grace and love and potential that God offers us on any given day? Be not afraid. Are any of you afraid this morning? You should be afraid. Our gospel lesson comes immediately on the heels of last week. This is part two of the same story. So if you recall last week's story, it was a man who had many barns and decided, like, what do I need to do in order to secure myself a nice and easy living for the rest of whatever days I have? And he decides to tear down those barns, build larger ones, and store up for himself a great treasure on earth so that he can live in relative ease and comfort. And some of us might hear that as an invitation to question or feel shame about those things that we have done to secure retirement or things like that. Jesus is not talking about your 401k. He is not talking about your retirement plan. He's not talking about whatever savings you have set aside for the burdensome medical care that this country offers us as a delightful invitation in society. What Jesus is talking about is the beginning of this gospel, the recognition of where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I wonder if we were to look at one another and truly understand what it is that each of us treasures, where we might perceive each other's hearts to be. A short example, if you were to go into my office at any given time, you would see that it is filled almost floor to ceiling on one wall with Star Wars Lego. You might assume that there is an opportunity for me to be putting my heart into that particular practice, because Lego are expensive, right? And so there's a certain monetary investment that goes into those, and then certainly, you know, a sense of pride in displaying them. But I wonder if that's the full story. And so I might invite you to recognize that each of those steps is a sermon. Time set aside specifically to keep my hands busy while I'm discerning what to share with you on any given Sunday. And so the perception of that treasure is not the full story. And so what does it feel like then to recognize the fullness of what Jesus is asking in partnership with those stories that we heard last week? And while I wasn't going to preach on this story, I think we kind of have to use Genesis as an opportunity. And you may recognize today's story from Genesis. We heard it a number of weeks or months ago. I didn't count before we got up here today to share this time together. But I don't know that that's important. You may remember that we talked about Abram's issue not being one of biological liquid shared between two consenting humans that might bring about the birth of a child, but one in a Hebrew culture of gut. What we would translate as heart. What your heart tells you your descendants are. And Abram decides to complain about this Elijah from Damascus being his only descendant, this slave. And God, seemingly hearing that complaint, decides to say to Abram, No, it'll be okay. You will have a child of your own issue. Now, we do have to kind of take Abram off the pedestal and typically set him on for this challenge to our faith story together to make sense. Because even whomever wrote to the Hebrews this morning is sitting in this space that Abram was offered an opportunity to be the father of generations of faithful people to God through this conversation. And I wonder if it might be better to recognize that God is simply tired of arguing with Israel. Simply tired of trying to point to God's power is good enough, big enough, strong enough to set up the same faithful generations to the lives of Israel. That the barrier is not with God's power. The barrier is with Abraham. Abraham is saying, I will not recognize later generations. My heart is not in the life. And so God says, all right, man, I'll give you something that you can translate to. I'll give you an opportunity to recognize that having your faith to a biological child is more important than simply passing your faith. And Jesus offers this continued revolutionary invitation to recognize a slave master sitting down upon witnessing his slaves being ready for his return and serving them and dining with them, breaking bread with them. And there is not one aspect of our history together where that has been true. We have yet to figure out how to faithfully sit with slaves in an effort to honor their honoring of us. And I wonder how that sits with us, because I think in our modern context, for us, it is all we need to recognize slaves as maybe those who serve the restaurants, maybe those who are in the hospitality business like hotels all over the UP, maybe those who are managing campgrounds. But do we really view them as lesser than us? Is this an argument that we can have with God about this invitation to sit with slaves and serve them? Because it's the same argument that Abram is having with God in our story in Genesis. And I don't think that we have a context in the service community to recognize that. Many of us know that I served in the Navy for 21 years. I was an enlisted sailor, and there's this quote that many of us know from the officer handbook written in the late 19th century. And the quote is attributed to Dot, which I assume is a medical officer in the late 1800s, and it goes something like this. Although slothful and ignorant, the enlisted men are cunning and devious, and they're watching at all times. And although we know that not to be true, the bulk of the work is done by the enlisted personnel. Whether it be clean, whether we be feeding, whether we be feeding, all of them. And so as I was growing up in the Navy, as I was coming into this understanding, it was hard to experience that quote, both as a defining moment for me, recognizing that there are officers that continue to believe that. That we enlisted are indeed slothful and ignorant. On the flip side, though, as I moved up in rank and became middle management in that system, it was all too easy to recognize that my contemporaries, even if they were of marginal lower rank than I, also bore watching at all times due to their cunning. And deeds. And if you sit in that space of inviting generational harm about those who are around you, it is all too easy to view them only as servants unto your will. And that is how I started part of my own management career in the Navy. What these enlisted sailors are here simply to ensure that I get the accolades due to me based on the prowess of what it was that we were doing together, a shared mission. Yes, we were doing most of the work, but it was my idea, it was my vision that got us there. My leadership, my broad knowledge across those spaces that each of us were bringing, those gifts and opportunities, that training that we all took part of to come together and bring a mission to fruition. And as I transitioned out of that kind of relationship building, it became clear to me I was never the winner in any of those situations. It was never about me. It was about the mission and the opportunity to recognize the inherent gifts in others that would bring about the fruition of that time together, whether it be a submarine, a surface ship, aircraft, or a shore. And as Jesus invites us, I became awoken to this opportunity, recognizing the inherent gifts of others. It is not the things that tie us together. It is not the person that sits in that place that plucks the sinew strings that hold those teams together that is responsible for that work. It is the team itself. And had I not had those revelations, it would have been all too easy to subvert my relationship with those sailors as servants, as slaves into my will. And so I wonder for us today, in this divisive political and societal climate, who do we get to be invited into recognizing as slaves and servants, as less than to us? Who are those people around us that are viewed with a negative lens only because we were told that the dying is worth less than this one? You get my point. Or that my friend doesn't care because they're too far away. Or better yet, Lansing doesn't understand us at all. Be careful, you're going to fall in my very own trap. The key here is recognizing where society invites us to other our siblings. And how Jesus is offering this revolutionary invitation to recognize that others can say absolutely not. For if Jesus is going to come as a thief in the night and take away everything that you have, everything that you can use to prove the level of import you have in today's society, if that can happen to you, what good is it? And so where is your treasure, siblings? Where is the space for those outside of this sacred space that we are building today? How will they know? How will they know that you are ready for Jesus to take everything that gives you a foundation for the place that you hold in this society? And that it won't matter to you. That you are awake to the wild of the world. And you say, no, no, no. I will not take part in the othering of my citizens. It is not my possessions that offer me safe and place and privilege to love. It is that which Jesus has offered me first, the grace of God, the wider and expansive opportunity to recognize that it isn't what we have that makes us equal. It's the love that we deserve. And so as you move through this week and perhaps the rest of this green and growing season, I invite you to think hard about those that society would invite you to hate, to other, to consider less than. Because that's exactly who Jesus is talking about today. That is exactly who we are to give everything away for. To walk in the sense and invitation of love. Sharing all of that love with those around us rather than focus on the commercialism that the world invites us. So go forth from this place and be awake. And do not fear. Do not hold on to those things that the world tells you is important. Hold on to the love of God and the invitation of Jesus to walk with those who the world will tell us are slaves unto us and deserving of our ire, our hatred, our malice, in an effort to gain more in this world. Because truly I tell you, said Jesus, Jesus will come as a thief in the night to take it all away from us. And we get to choose what is life. Amen.